The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "The disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same. But yours eat and drink." Jesus answered them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? Days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new cloak to patch an old one. Otherwise he'll tear the new, and the piece from it will not match the old cloak. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled. The skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. No one who has been drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good." The Gospel of the Lord. I think all of us would agree on this. There's a real crisis of leadership in the world. I think all of us agree on that. A real crisis of leadership in the world over the past, maybe the past 50 years. So, today we have one of the greatest leaders in the history of the world that we celebrate today. So I invite you all to try to get to know this person who was one of the greatest leaders and one of the most talented men in the church. Maybe you don't know too much about him, but I'll try to give you a succinct summary of this great man. Very rarely does a church give the title great to any saint. But there are a few. One is Leo the Great. Another is Albert the Great. And there's a woman whose name is St. Gertrude the Great. We have a church in Bell in honor of St. Gertrude the Great. Today we celebrate St. Gregory the Great. When I was doing my tutorial at Villanova, I read his writings called the Dialogues. So I invite you to do some literary work, read the Dialogues. There's the Dialogues of Captain of Siena, but there's the Dialogues of Gregory the Great. John Paul II says that the church has two lungs that they breathe with, the Eastern Church and the Western Church. Western Church has four great fathers. Can you name them? Well, I'll tell you. Saint Jerome, who lived at the same time as Saint Ambrose, and Saint Ambrose baptized Saint Augustine. So those are three. And the fourth is Saint Gregory the Great. He's one of the fathers of the church. Gregory the Great was a Roman. So I'm going to point out to you, see, the roles of leadership that he had, and every role that he had as a leader was very different. So you see his talents, but also his humility in assuming different responsibilities of leadership that he really didn't want. So his father was governor of Rome, which one was maybe the most important city in the world back then. So his father passed away, and then he's made the governor and senator of Rome when he's in his early 30s. He's coming from a very wealthy family, and he's highly educated. Now look at the contrast. Here he is, one of the most important political leaders in the world. But he's inspired, are you listening? To be a Benedictine monk. There's no more marked literary contrast in the world between the two. It's like black and white. Because as a political leader, he's got to deal with so many different people. The good, the bad, and the in-between. Huh? What does a Benedictine monk do? Spends a whole day in silence, in prayer, in fasting. So here he is, a political leader, then he enters into the monastery. Now what does he do? He takes his own mansion in the state and he turns that into the monastery, giving it the name St. Andrew's. And if you've ever been to Italy, in Sicily, he establishes 6 more Benedictine monasteries. This one person. Then the Pope calls him to be an ambassador to Constantinople. Constantinople is not Rome. 2 different realities. Because of his diplomatic gifts. His ability to speak and to persuade and to listen. Then he comes back and he's ordained a deacon. Then the Pope dies. Guess what? We want Gregory! There was no conclave back then, okay? We want Gregory! We want Gregory! So he's at 50 years of age, he is elected, chosen to be the new Pope. He turns out to be one of the best popes the church has ever had in 2,000 years. The people criticized him because the Romans said he's turning the city of Rome into a monastery. He had to do so much. There was so much turmoil. He had to fight against the Vandals that were entering into Rome. The Lombards, the church of the city was going through hunger, so he had to try to govern the city in such a way that there was enough food in the granaries. So he's Pope, but he's got this political experience. He was one of the greatest politicians. Now he's using his political gifts of organization and discipline and authority to save souls. But he was not, as we say in New York, a local yokel. That means he wasn't provincial. He had a missionary heart. So he sent another saint and 40 other monks to my descendants on my dad's side, which would be England. I've got English blood. Now who does he send there? He sends Augustine. not Augustine the son of Monica, but Augustine of Canterbury. And Augustine, who was he? He was a Benedictine monk also, an Italian Benedictine monk. He sent 40 others. When they were heading there, they were so terrified, thinking that they're going to be brutally murdered, that they do a U-turn and they return to Rome. And Gregory encourages them to go back. So they go back to England and they plant Catholicism in England. Now before the Protestant Reformation, England was one of the greatest countries in Catholicism. There's never been a country even close to the literary masterpieces of England. I was an English major, so I can speak with authority. No? No one comes close to literary masters, not only Shakespeare, Milton, and Byron, but also we got great writers like Julian of Norwich and Walter Hilton and The Cloud of the Unknown. So if it weren't for this Pope, England would have never become Christian, probably. It would have been barbarians. So the influence of this Pope is enormous. Okay, what happens the last 2 years of his life? He becomes a victim soul. A victim soul, you know what that is? In which he suffers incredible physical ailments and he offers that for the church like John Paul II. Last thing I'd like to say is that in his literary works, he wrote about 150 letters to the Eastern Church. But he wrote what was considered the greatest manual ever written as a manual for bishops and priests, called the Pastoral Guide, which you can still read today. The Pastoral Guide of Gregory the Great. One thing he says is that we as priests, we have to be sentinels overlooking what's going on in the world, and we have to preach. And Vatican II says the two primary duties of the priest are to pray and to preach, exactly what I'm doing right now. We're called to pray the Mass. We're called to preach. So look at, I forgot to mention this, but also he was made the Benedictine Abbot of the Monastery of St. Andrew. So look at all the responsibilities that he had of leadership. He was the Roman governor. He was the abbot of a Benedictine monastery. Then he became the head of the Holy Catholic Church. But the key to his holiness was his great love for God. That's the key to his holiness. His great love for God. Let's pray for church leaders, political leaders, pastoral leaders, family leaders, catechetical leaders, CEO leaders, that they will follow in the footsteps of this great man, and his name is Saint Gregory the Great. Saint Gregory the Great, pray for us.